I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Good. We've had a, can I just say I've had a whirlwind of travel over the past 2 weeks. I've been all over the place. And I'm back in Charlotte.
Yes, you have. Good. Finally.
Yeah. So fun. Like, it was work, and then Eric had, I had some vacation days thrown in between and family time, and but like hit the ground running on Thursday when I got back, but was so pumped that we were going to be doing this today.
Yes. Excited.
And tomorrow's my birthday.
Can you believe it?
No.
Another year around the
Another
sun.
Another year. And I'll be 48. All 48. Woo-woo. I'm actually excited. I had told Leah earlier this year, I was really struggling with my age, which I think we all have those moments.
Yes.
For me, I don't know. I just kind of hit the wall, and, but I've had a real shift in perspective, and gosh, finding my voice and my confidence, and growing that is kind of where I'm at, which has been a lot of our conversation.
Right. I think for the listeners too, they would be surprised, especially for you to hear that, your lack of confidence in whatever area, you know, just your lack of confidence, period, because you don't give off that, to anyone. You're like our number one cheerleader.
And I think a lot of that, we even had this discussion, like a lot of the lack of confidence, and why it's taken so long has come from years growing up in a very strict, religious, I don't even know how to put it, upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I allowed to have control over my every move. And it didn't, and they're not talking about my parents. That's what's
right. Crazy.
Not
right.
My parents. Not my right. Parents. It was, believe it or not, we talked about, you know, women supporting women, how important that is to me. And the reason why I'm such an advocate for women being encouraging of each other and uplifting of each other, again, has to go back to that, because I gave so much of my, like, I gave my power away. Like, I gave that away to, at the time, these were women I looked up to, because most of the control that's come into my life or the things that have really, bruised me, or in the sense mm-hmm. of like bruised my confidence, mm-hmm. came from women.
These right.
were women in position, and they used it, and I allowed it for so long. And I thought that I was never good enough to trust my own intuition or my own voice.
Right.
So that has been like a, you know, for me, that's been such growth just in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, which
yeah.
is crazy to say, but it's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. You know, it even goes back to the science. I always go back to the science too, because, we were conditioned as young, as children, to act a certain way, dress a certain way, be a certain way, be quiet. You don't have a voice here. This is what you're to think on, you know, say, do, whatever. We, from a very young age, learned that. And not that you could even look back and remember when that all started happening, but it was your environment. You knew how to, in a sense, get in line. And when you learn from a young age to people please to that extent that we both have and were, it's not easy to just break free of, and actually learn your own voice and your own passions and your own, you know, whatever. It's difficult.
Yeah. Especially when you're told that, like, there's a level of fear that's created.
Mm-hmm.
And for both of us, like, this came through, our churches, our environment,
right.
and our belief system that we because we constantly talk about faith, and there's positives and negatives from being raised in that kind of environment.
Right.
And, you know, the positives are, you know, we have a belief system and we talk about a relationship with God, and like, that is real for us. Like, that for me is real. And I know that for you is real as well. But there's also been a level of fear that was created early on, a fear of any move you would make, like, would, you know, you're going to go to hell, basically. And just this whole fear of like, they know better than you, and yes, the constant hammering of like sin and, you know, being, you know, being perfect. And for me, it even came down to, I was harassed on the regular for what I wore.
I witnessed it.
I can remember, and this came from the last church I was part of for like 5 years, which is where Leah and I both really met and like bonded through the experience. But there's a female pastor, pastor is the wrong word, leader. And this female leader, like, stood me up one day and just like ripped me apart about my physique, talked about my body in front of the congregation, which, you know, hindsight looking back, I'm like, how could you let somebody do that? Like, how could you allow yourself to be in such a position that you would allow somebody? But at the vulnerable place I was at, and just so hungry to do better and be better. And I thought, this person, like, she's godly, she knows, like, this is it. But she took her power and abused it.
Yeah.
And because of that, by the fifth year I was there, I had a freaking uniform. Yeah. I wore long sleeve. I was thinking about the other day. I wore a long sleeve black sweater that had a slight V in it. And I had to safety pin it at the top. I wore a loose black skirt, black tights, and black shoes. And that was my uniform every time I stepped in the building, because it was the only thing I could wear that she would not point out that I was inappropriate.
Right.
So,
well, you said it before you went into all that. You said it. You were like, just, you gave your power away. You gave everything away to another person, another human being, to literally tell you what to do as if they are God. They set themselves up to be your God. And when you put it in that light, people like cannot even comprehend the brainwashing or the, oh my God, like when I had a flashback to what Celia was saying, because I'm sitting in the same congregation, and it's like, it angers me to the point of rage that I didn't even, as a friend, as a sister, like, and this happened to multiple people. My entire family has been abused. And for us to sit by and let someone do that with, because of the status of a pastor or a leader, to let them do that is absurd. Like, it's crazy. But my therapist used to tell me all the time, you would not believe how much of this goes on. And it used to make me feel better, because I'm like, okay, I'm not stupid. But like, really? Like, does this really still go on? And it does. Like, we see TV shows about it. We see movies about it. We see documentaries about it, how we set these people up on pedestals and we allow them to rule and reign in our life. And then, you know what? God kind of takes the back seat, because you're no longer listening for yourself and, you know, in your Bible or praying or whatever, and then getting your own. You're listening to these people who, let me remind myself again, are human just like us. Now, do I believe? Yes, I believe God appoints pastors and leaders and shepherds and apostles and prophets and all of those things, and teachers, but are they to take place of Him? No. And there is so much abuse in this area especially being in the South, that it disgusts me almost to the point where I constantly have to remind myself, this is not my Lord. This is not my Father. He wouldn't do this. I don't have to sit under this. It's a constant reminder that Seal and I are, even for each other, have to bring it back into perspective.
All the time. Like, and realizing, like, that's just it. There's people that may have more education. There are people that may have more experience. But when it comes to that, there's not somebody that's got the red phone and that you don't have access, or right, that they have some level above you. No, like, it's all the same for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest, you know, revelation, if you want to say, or the biggest thing that I finally have connected the dots is, like, yes, there are people that are in those positions and they're there for purpose. And that's part of their individual purpose. That's what they've been put on this earth to do. And, but it doesn't mean that they're, you know, in God's eyes, somebody at a higher level than you or me. Like, we all have the opportunity to have that relationship with Him. And if you hold people in those positions as respect for the position, and you can respect the person, but what you don't want to do is put them, like you said, above God, or like, well, they said it, so it must be like, that's it. No, you still have to listen in your own heart, in your own spirit, and decide. And you have that, like, you have that capability. And I think for me, it's like, wow, I've just become a really much stronger person. And my faith is so much stronger at this moment than even when I was in those moments of looking to those people, because, you know, it's so different when you dial your faith in, and it really is in, you know, in God and what you, like, what you believe and what you see Him do in your own life, and realize, like, nobody was doing that. You know, I don't have a pastor in front of me right now that's, you know, hammering at me and telling me every day who I need to be and what I need to be. Like, it's coming from my own spirit.
Yeah.
I want to be led by Him, and that I want to grow. I want my faith to be stronger.
Right. Yeah. So if you're listening and you're in that position, this is a sounding alarm. This is a sounding alarm to get back to that vertical line between you and your Heavenly Father, that it's not directed towards nothing you do. First of all, can break you away from Him and His love, and no church gets you into heaven.
Amen to that.
Forget that. No person, no building, no anything. That is not, it is, He came to save you. He died on the cross for you and all your sins. And no person can take that away from you. I don't care if you never give another dime to another church on this earth. Like, it just has gotten so backwards, and it really is kind of disturbing. So I can't sit in that space long without getting upset. And so I'm typically like, okay, time to move on. Like,
let's move on to the next topic. But I so agree with everything you're saying, because it is right. Like, everything that we've been talking about, and for years, we've talked about, like, how much, you know, how grieved we are in our own hearts of sitting back and watching it happen and, you know, not saying anything. And so now it's like, no, we're not going to be quiet any longer. Like, this really does happen. People really experience this. And if you have experienced something like this, you're not alone, and you're not stupid, and you're not dumb. And realize that you can come out of that situation stronger and better. And, and that we're using this as an opportunity to share our our story and what's going on in our lives and be more vulnerable and open so that we can help somebody else that may be in that position, or maybe they're coming out of it.
Right. Cause you need support. Like if the tie has been that strong and the ties run that deep, like you can't do it alone. You'll second guess yourself. And typically in places like this, when you do leave, they cut you off completely. Which is another manipulation, or another tool that they use to manipulate you, and to isolate you so that you are so fearful that you run back. And you do need support. So know that going into it, don't do it alone.
Yeah. Find some people that you can trust and have, you know, be your go-to. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate that we had within, I mean, there was a lot that went down behind the scenes, which I know we kind of uncover more and more every time we talk about it. But, you know, with Leah and I, we had this like bond and friendship, and that's what kept us together, like in this environment. Like that's how we were able to stay strong. And I'll never forget the time we sat at the kitchen table, and this was like August, I think it was August of 2014. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm out, I'm leaving, peace, I'm out, I'm packing, I'm going. And I can remember you looking at me and saying, please hold on a little longer, just hold on a little longer. And so I did. So I was like, mm-hmm. this is my best friend telling me she needs my help and she needs me to be strong and for her. And so mm-hmm. I stayed. And then in the following February, we both knew like it was time to peace out. And we're going to the last service. And I was like, done. And they do, they write you off. They cut you off of everything. They cut you, people cut
Listen,
you off.
Like, yes. When I talked about literally being at a place for 34 years and not a soul contacted me, not one soul. And I have grown up like with these people. And it's crazy. It is crazy. Not that I wanted. Now, listen, I did cut myself off and I knew what I had to do in order. I'd said for years before I even left, I knew that if I ever left, even my family would disown me. How I knew that was just it was subconsciously. No one ever told me that. Like those words didn't come out, but I watched it for years. I watched my best friends leave. I watched other families leave and what happened to them and what we were, you know, no longer, I couldn't be friends. I couldn't hang out with them. I couldn't talk to them. So I knew even as a child, if I ever left, I would be disowned. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Which is a lot when you take it in.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, but on the positive and on the flip side, the fact that you did
right
has like given your daughters a totally different life because of it.
Right.
And you actually are experiencing restoration with your family now.
Yes.
Yes. Which is amazing.
Right. It's so true. I ultimately, because they flashed before my eyes, my oldest at the time was 6 and she was in a service and my life flashed before my eyes. And I realized, oh my God, I'm now living my parents' life. And then my child's living my life. And it was the last service I ever attended. I said, they will not live like I did. And I never went back and I took them out and I'm so thankful, because that is why I left, was because of my kids. I was not going to allow them to watch their family be tortured and abused and in turn, their life be shut down. So thank God.
Yes. So thankful.
Yes.
And it just, it just goes to show like how much, you know, because there's one thing that they, one thing we were told constantly is like, your life would, you know, be this awful, terrible, you'd live this hellish life if you ever left. Like, these are kinds of fears that they pump in.
Like, your health was tied right. to it, and your wealth was everything. Tied to it. And
everything.
All, everything was tied to this place and these people. And it's like, wow, really?
Yes.
I mean.
And then now it's like, wow. We are on the other side of like taking that massive step and move, and look at where we are now and where we're headed and the women we're becoming. And to me, it's like, this is awesome. Like, yeah. This is even better than what I thought it could be.
Right.
And it's only going to get better.
Right.
Because we're going to become more confident and stronger in who we are. And yeah. That to me is like awesome.
Yeah. Well, you see it in our own kids. You yeah. see that they're who they are and who they've become. I mean, we talk about it all the time with Jonathan and Sarah Catherine, especially because they're the older two. And it's like, you know, wow, like I was nowhere even close to that at 14. Like, you know, I'm just amazed. And I'm like, it reminds you that the decisions that you make do affect them, and what shapes them, and have I made mistakes along the way? Absolutely. Would I do things a different way if I could do it all over again? Absolutely. But do I regret it? No, not at all. It so much gratitude. That when I'm even like, when I do, cause I do get angry when I talk about this subject, but I do have to put my eyes on them, and I'm like, it's all worth it. Every bit of it.
100%. Jonathan's yeah. so freaking confident. Like, it blows my mind. Like, my yep. kid is so confident, his confidence in who he is as a person. Like, yes, does he have insecurities? Of course, but there's still this level of confidence that he has that I didn't have at his age. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that's just going to get better for him. And right. and there's a difference between self-confidence and arrogance. So right. the self-confidence of like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I like. Like, I can just tell you that I was so worried about what people would think mm-hmm. all the time, that buying a piece of clothing or deciding on something I actually like, I was never secure in that. Like, mm-hmm. I was never secure. And even like, you know, well, what do you like, Seal? Well, whatever you,
yeah. whatever
you want to do, whatever you think. And like, realizing now, like, I was able to give my son 3 items I wanted for my birthday. Never have I been able to like articulate that, because yeah. I was so concerned all the time about what everybody else thought, their needs, everything else, that I never even had the confidence to care about myself. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're really on this confidence journey. Join yeah. us on the train.
Oh. Making decisions. Right. Who are you?
Right. Oh, which brings me to that podcast we listened to. So we listened to Lori Harder, Earn Your Happy. If you haven't listened to her podcast, like, she's a freaking fitness icon from my days, but like now yeah. she's a freaking becoming a business icon. So like, she's just amazing. And she's so humble and vulnerable and has all these amazing guests on. And she recently had AJ, who mm-hmm. is like a branding expert, marketing expert. And that's exactly what they were talking about on this last episode. Cause you and I both talked about it. Like, who are we? Like, cause she talks about your personal brand is so important, because it's, what you do isn't who you are.
Right.
And we talked about like how much we've led with fitness, because that's what everybody talks to us about, because that was the only thing I had confidence in, was a freaking gym.
Right. We have actually created that, mm-hmm. you know, I would come away from whatever, whether it was my Bible study group or friends at, you know, at my kid's school or the honeybees or anything. And it's like, I come away and it's like, all I would tell Celia, all anyone ever wants to talk to me about is fitness and food. And it's like, you know, but realizing after listening to that podcast, realizing that I have done that to myself, because that is areas of my life that have, I have always been confident in, and I have a lot of knowledge in. I have apparently always led with that. So no wonder people come to me, like, you know, but I would walk away from groups like, I am more than what training I'm doing right now. I am more than like what's on my plate right now. Like all the questions that I would get, and not to knock anyone who's ever asked me those questions. I do appreciate, I do love talking about those things, and I am passionate about those things, but you realize that you put yourself in a box, and you actually train people and the people that surround you into that. It's not necessarily that they even want to talk about it. You know, it made me laugh. I'm like, that is literally, she was talking to me. Like,
I know, I felt the same way, because we texted immediately after we listened to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like listening to our conversation.
Right.
About that, because I'm the same way. Like, everything in my life is revolved around fitness, but there is so much more to each of us as women. Like, you know, I don't always talk about being a mom. Like, I haven't always shared the fact that, because, well, my child is no longer a toddler, but like, right. I don't share the years that I was a single mom, just trying
yes.
to make it,
survive,
survive. Yes. And yeah. like, a part of that, I think, is that like, you don't want to uncover that piece of you, because you're like, oh my gosh, what are people going to think?
Right.
But realizing like how important that is a part of my journey and my story to where I am now. But like, yes, I am a mom. Like, and my kid is going to be 22 this week. So like, it's just, you know, owning those things. Or, you know, I'm married, and, you know, owning the fact that I have a wonderful husband, and I don't always share all the things about that. Most of the stuff on my feed is all like, you know, is all my fitness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do share a lot about women, because I'm really passionate about that. But like, I don't know, just things we think about and talk about. And I love clothes. Like, you asked me yesterday, were things you like, I love clothes. But if you all knew the history of the fear issue I have with clothes, it would boggle your mind. So, but these are all things that we haven't shared about, the insecurities and the things that, are real. And, so now it's kind of opening the door to be like, okay, you guys are going to see who I really am. Are you ready?
Right. Seal's getting vulnerable. Listen, I break that vulnerable. If you go back, if you scroll back on my Instagram, I got off of Instagram for a while. And aside, who does want to talk about those things? Like, they're painful, and we as humans run away from pain. Like, but it takes us going through the pain in order to grow. And it's like, if you go back, I decided one day, y'all are going to laugh. I decided one day in the gym, I was training, and I'm like, I'm going to get on Instagram. I'm going to get back on Instagram, and it's going to be like my diary. It's going to be, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to share. I'm going to like show every piece of me, because for so long I had to hide. Like, I couldn't be me, because in order to be me, I would get ridiculed or shut down, or that's not who God says you should be, or God's not in that, or what. And so it was always questioning, like, well, it's like Seal, like, well, what if nobody likes me because of this? And what if, who's going to say this? And so I was like in my F it stage of my life. And I just started like 2016, I just started writing. And y'all, I've never written before in my life. I didn't have a diary. I didn't journal. I didn't know, like, no, probably for fear that somebody would read it in my house, but I didn't do those things, but that became that for me. And it was so freeing that I moved through so much pain, openly yet not openly. It was still like, it's still behind a computer. I'm writing. I'm not talking to, you know, publicly to people. So it is a little bit easier. But when we do choose to be vulnerable and to share our heart and who we truly are, like, then that in turn builds a community, builds support for you, for not only you, but for them. Like, you really do start to meet your people, I feel like.
I would agree with that. And I think building your confidence too.
Yes.
And I think that's my thing now is like, for me, the biggest thing is being intentional to like, you know, I'm known as like good vibes, smiles all the time, happy, laughter, silly, playful. Yeah, that's 100%.
And don't get me wrong, Celia is all of that.
100%. Even in the worst.
That is truly her.
Even in the worst, I can always find something to laugh about, or I'll quickly like, now don't get it twisted. I have my meltdowns and I've been through those periods of times where I was really depressed, but I've always been fortunate enough to have people in my life that it's quickly to jump out of that, whether we mm-hmm. break down and laugh about something or I get a nice message or note. But yeah, I think for me right now in the space I'm in is like, it's time for me to open up because I've been the person that's always sharing somebody else's story. Like we talked about, like always sharing about somebody else, always interviewing somebody else, always highlighting somebody else. And we just both have been in the space where it's like really time to open up about who we are. And we still have a love for fitness. In fact, we're, you know, doing things together in that direction, but like, we're more than that. Like we're more than that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, we've been, if you guys follow us on Instagram together, we've been Catapult Fit since 2014.
I think 13 or 14.
No, earlier than that. That was 2011.
That's right. That's right. So 2000. Yes. And so we have just recently, if you've noticed, we've changed our name and because we're building something new and it is based on the whole person. It is spirit, soul, and body. Our friendship has developed, our training has developed, our mindset, our spiritual life, all of it. So therefore it was time for a name change. And you know what? It might change again. I don't know. But we're just starting all over and we love that you're along for the ride and we want your comments. We want your feedback. We want to work with you. We just are here to empower women and in every aspect of life. And it, you know, it's so special and it's so neat to, watch the development take place. And we've mentioned this before, but we watched the Jennifer Lopez documentary, but it's not even her. It's just so many women have come out now and they're like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it till my 40s or my 50s. I'm just starting and I'm, you know, 52. Like I'm just, when you, it builds your own faith. And so that's what we're here to do too, is it builds not just us, but it in turn builds a community that it's like, regardless of what direction you're going in, it's like, yes, like we can do this. I can do this.
That's what we want. And that's like, it's so cool to watch it come together because it's all been organic, like all of this podcast episodes, like all this stuff has been so like organic and goes hand in hand with everything that we're in line to do and everything we care about, we care about. We talk about it all.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say it. I just feel like it's because it's like all encompassing. Like, it's not just like, we're just going to talk about lifting or we're just going to talk about nutrition or we're just going to talk to you about spiritual. Like, no, it's the whole person. It's all of it.
Yeah. 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 I love it.
Well, we've been talking about the spiritual and the faith. We got to switch. We do need to switch gears because we know that you do have questions and there's all the things fitness that, I mean, we could go on for hours with fitness too. So it's not like one outweighs the other. They're all like, I feel like equally like loved, like there's love for each thing. So Leah, tell us about the Mythbuster.
Okay, today we are talking about food. And you have decided to, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to change my eating habits because we know they go hand in hand with your training. And so the myth is you do not have to pick a diet in order for this to work. So I don't care if it's paleo, keto, carnivore. What else is there?
I think about the zone and like,
or, pizza, yeah, all these different things that used to be.
Yes. Mediterranean. All these just different, like, and listen, you will meet people and you may be that person that lost, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds on the keto diet or the paleo diet. And I am not saying that those are wrong or bad or anything. I'm just saying that you lost that weight with that diet because your calories that you took in were less than the calories that you're putting out. So it all boils down to calories. So don't feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to pick one. Which one's going to work for me? Which one sounds good? Not that you can't, because that you can go that route too. It gives you boundaries. What those do is those diets give you boundaries around food so that you can take in less. And that's all that it is. So when people ask me about macros, like, you know, Leah, I don't even understand what that is. Like, macros are just your macronutrients. So it's protein, carbohydrates, and fat. And a lot of times when I work with people, I'm like, we're really just going to focus on protein because protein is the building blocks of muscle. And you need those in order to build lean muscle mass. You can go plant-based. You're just going to have to eat a lot more because in order to get that whole amino acid profile, we're going to have to combine foods and eat a lot more of the plant in order to get in the amount of protein that you really need. And, you know, it is all individual, but we're busting the myth of you do not have to be keto. You do not have to do paleo. You do not have to be vegetarian. You do not have to be vegan. You do not have to pick a diet. You can eat all of the foods. A lot of times, you know, for the majority of people that Seal and I deal with, we don't ever take out a food group ever. And when you're texting me saying it's around your menstrual cycle and you know, we all need chocolate. Like, yes, we're going to give you the chocolate. Like, you can have it. You can have all of these things. There are not good and bad foods. It's food. And food is here for fuel. And food is here for enjoyment. And when you take all of that away is when there's such a mind muscle connection. And we can get more into that in different weeks, but your mind will, as soon as you take something away, your mind immediately just starts to obsess over it and creates those cravings for it. So we're stepping away from the good and the bad. There is no bad and there is no good. It's food, and we're going to use it as a fuel source for what it really is, and go from there and figure out the numbers. That's where it gets fun. You figure out the numbers for you, but it's experimenting. It's not putting yourself in a box and trying to be keto for a week and then being like, dang it, and then binging. And then like this whole just cycle starts over again. So no, you don't have to pick a diet in order to lose weight.
Which I think is so important to say, because I think for so many women, it's like you have to be on some kind of plan or diet. And it's like the goals that we want to have are for longevity and long-term. It's not about, unless you're an athlete and you're training for something specific, then you have to fuel that way. Right. But like for people that are just wanting to get in shape or want to lose weight or want to feel good, yes, it's different. And then each person is different. So, you know, each person needs different things. And depending on where you are, like, especially women in their 40s and 50s, you're dealing with menopause, you're dealing with hormone imbalances, you're dealing with just a lot of other things that are happening. So, you know, it's more about just finding like that medium space of like feeling good and being able to accomplish some of the goals that you've set up for yourself without beating yourself up, without restricting, without this constant pressure to follow a plan. And you know, it's really coming to a place of balance, and that takes work and it takes freaking time. It is not a week. It is not 2 weeks. It's not even three. Like, it's time, consistency, and it's just, you just have to like keep moving and keep doing this, you know, building those blocks.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, listen, I am seeing benefits in my own self of goals that I have set and I have been working on for 3 years. But because I've been consistent for 3 years, like, think about that. Like, In a physical sense, we want it so quickly and so badly, but I'm just now seeing the benefits of things that I've been working on for 3+ years. And thank God I've been consistent, but it really, like, it's taught me in my own life, not for just my clients, but for myself, like, that it really does pay off. That consistency and hard work will pay off.
You just have to keep showing up.
Yes.
For yourself, not for anyone else, for you.
Yes. I mean, gosh, it does make a huge difference that when you're doing it for other people, it will not last. And when you it may last for an event, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't, like, but it may work for that short term, but for the long term, it is definitely when it's your decision. That's when it pays off.
And you have to set it as a priority. I just had a conversation earlier this week with another woman and all the stuff that she's dealing with in life right now, like stressors from every direction. And I finally had to stop her and say, hey, listen, I get that all this is going on, but if you don't take that moment for yourself, you're so focused on making sure they're all taken care of. If you don't take that moment for yourself, which means whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes to move, whether it's figuring out what works for you food-wise, like, you're going to suffer in the long run. And guess what? They notice. Yeah. They notice when you're, and especially if it's your kids, when your kids start to see, like, you physically, like, are just not, like, healthy as far as, like, you're stressed and you're not healthy, your family feels it.
And absolutely,
that's why it's so important, like, for yourself. Like, I can say that more so now than ever, because there have been times in life where stress takes over, but like, where I'm at now with it and realizing, like, you know what, it doesn't matter if everything else is falling apart around me, there is still going to have to be that time for myself. Like, I have to do that because I'm only strong enough to handle all the stuff that flies, you know?
Right. Yep. You can only give out so much. And when you don't do anything, when you're not putting in anything positive and you're just constantly, you know, it's checks and balances. And when everything's going out, nothing's coming in, it's going to be depletion, you know? I mean, we're talking on physical level, in your checking account, on your whatever you want to do it. When there's too much going out and there ain't anything coming in, you know, it's going to make a huge difference.
So, make the time for you. I think this was a great conversation on the Mythbuster, because I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real topic. And I think women deal with those real issues of feeling like if they take time to work out, or they take time to eat right, or they take time to do something for themselves in that arena, that it's selfish. Yes, but you need that. Because guess what? Men don't even question it. If the man wants to do something, they freaking do it. And he will look at you and be like, look, I got to do this for me. Well, guess what, ladies? Same thing for you. You stand your ground and hold that, because that is, it's a need for every human being, not one sex or the other. It's every human being. If you're a human being, you need to take care of yourself. Like, that's just, I mean, you just need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's me on my soapbox. which you'll get from time to time, which who knew that I would say exactly what I think.
We love it.
And not sugarcoat it.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so, man.
Well, we've had such tremendous conversation today. I want to thank everyone. Listeners, we thank you for listening. We want you to send us your comments. We want you to share with us what you're thinking or what you're dealing with, or, you know, questions around fitness, questions.
How you can relate, all of that.
How you can relate with us. But we are here to, Leah, you said it perfectly yesterday, is the desire to encourage, inspire, uplift, empower. Like, that's our jam. That's what we're about. And we're just so excited that you're joining us on this ride with Girl Chat.
Have a good one.
So wait, where can they follow us?
They can follow us at CP Method. They can follow us at LeahElizabeth_V, and it's Seal.
Smart.
She's so smart.
All right, y'all, have a good week. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. 1, 2.